Good. So, brothers and sisters, now isn't it nice to have all that bishop's lens and appeal stuff out of the way? Yes, it is. So, an abbreviated little thought for you here this morning, just a little bit shorter than usual. From the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Christ our Lord in the Gospel. When the sieve is shaken, the husks appear, and so do your faults appear when you speak, says our first reading from Sirach. Little thought for you now about a sin so common that most people don't even know that they're doing it. I'm talking about sins of the tongue, the nasty things we say about one another, whether to their face or behind their back. Remember when we were little kids, once upon a time, they told us to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you remember that? We didn't believe that even when we were kids, did we? You know that's not true. Vicious words can hit you harder than a fist. You wish they'd use sticks and stones. It wouldn't hurt you as much. Whether it's gossip or detraction or slander or exaggerations or outright lies about you. All these are the sins of the tongue. It's really an amazing thing to think about. The tongue is a thing so small, but it's capable of inflicting such great ruin. Now, it's not enough for someone to tell you that you're doing something wrong. It's not enough. You also need to know why you're doing it and what to do about it. You ever wondered why, you go to confession time after time and you say the same thing? You ever wondered why you do that? You ever wondered why you struggle with the same sins again and again and again and you never seem to shake them? One of the reasons, at least one of the reasons, is you're not addressing the question of why you're doing it. And no one's given you any good advice for what to do about it. So that's what I'd like to try to do here this morning with sins of speech. And my very simple thought for you this morning is this. Much of the sins of speech that we commit are actually the sin of envy. Now, it's not true for all the bad words that we speak. You know, you can say plenty of words out of sheer anger, and you can say plenty of words out of sheer ego, but it's a very helpful meditation. A lot of the sins of speech that we commit are actually the sin of envy. And I want to promise you, I'm not making this up. I'm stealing this shamelessly from St. Thomas Aquinas. So it's not my idea. Envy, let's understand what it is. Envy is the sadness that you feel at the good fortune of another person, either at their good fortune or at one of their good qualities. And envy is not the same thing as jealousy. People use those terms interchangeably. They're very different things. You know what the difference is between envy and jealousy? Jealousy is thing-centered. Envy is person-centered. For example, John at the office just won a trip to Hawaii. The jealous man says, "Oh, Joe, why can't I go to Hawaii? Nothing good ever happens to me. Oh, my life is the worst." That's jealousy speaking. Envy says, "Oh, why did it have to be John? I hate John. I hope there's a pilot strike. I hope he gets the flu and he can't go." That's envy speaking. It's person-centered. You know what the signature trait is of envy? This is the signature of envy. Here's how you know you've got the sin of envy. You want to destroy the good you cannot have. That's the signature trait of envy. You want to destroy the good that you cannot have or hurt the person who has it. And here's how it affects us in our speech. When someone else looks good because of some good quality or some good fortune, we feel like we look bad by comparison. So what do? We cut them down a few notches, don't we? We try to destroy the good. That's the sin of envy. That's why it's the root of so many things that we say. Now, just as an aside, St. Augustine once called envy the diabolical sin. You want to know why he said that? The diabolical sin. There's few things, probably nothing here on this earth that makes us act more like Lucifer and the demons than envy does. You ever wondered why the devil's so mean? Like, why is he trying to destroy everything? Why is the devil trying to destroy everybody, pull everybody down to hell with him? You want to know why? St. Augustine says it's because he's envious. You see, as long as you live, you've still got a shot at heaven. As long as you got breath in your lungs, you've still got a chance. He lost his chance. So what does he want to do? He wants to destroy your chance. That's how he's going to get back at God. That's what we do to other people. We try to destroy either their reputation or the good that they have. And poor envy, of all the sins you could ever commit, it's the most miserable sin. I mean, geez, at least some of those seven capital sins, at least they're fun. You know, gluttony, you know, sloth, sleep in till noon. Gosh, at least that's enjoyable. Nobody ever enjoyed being envious. Nobody ever enjoyed it. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Well, you can't turn it off like a light switch, but there is something you can do about it. Two things. Once again, I've taken this from St. Thomas Aquinas. The two antidotes to envy are, number one, practice joy. And number two, practice zeal. Let's talk about each one of those. Okay, first of all, practice joy. What's joy? It's very simple. Joy is the conscious possession of a good. You've got to have a good thing, you've got to be aware of it. That's joy. I saw a photograph from Time magazine long ago, back in, you know, black and white, from World War II. And it showed this little boy, probably about 6 years old, in the middle of the war, sitting on top of a pile of rubble that used to be his house before his house was bombed out. But this little boy is so happy. He's looking up to the heavens. He's got the most joyful expression on his face because he's clutching a new pair of shoes. And somebody in the middle of that terrible war managed to get this poor little boy who was dressed in rags a new pair of shoes, and he was so happy. That's joy. Does he have other problems in his life? Yes, he just had his house blown up. Maybe his family's dead. You can practice joy even when you're sad about other things. Because joy means counting your blessings. Give it a try. Every morning you wake up, 100 million things go right in your life. 100 million things go right in your life. And 2 or 3 things go wrong. I'm not exaggerating. Every time you got a heartbeat, it's a flat-out gift from God. You go, you draw breath. Oh, you give thanks to God, you got 2 healthy lungs. Try walking through the hospital and seeing some of the people that are dying of respiratory infections. And you'll be grateful for each breath that you have. You can really take this a long way. We've got an ozone layer up there. It's blocking all kinds of harmful rays that would otherwise fry us like a French fry. And you're in safety and peace right now. You can come to church, you can worship God. No one's aiming a gun at you. Can't say that about all parts in the world these days, can we? So much to be thankful for. You give thanks for that. The antidote to envy is to practice gratitude, because gratitude is a synonym for joy. That's the first thing we do. Here's the second. Practice zeal. What's zeal? Well, zeal is not having lots of energy or standing on a street corner and preaching the gospel. That's not zeal. Zeal is the will to imitate the good that you see in somebody else. That's what the saints did. Here, let me summarize 75% of the biographies of all the saints we've had in our life. You start with an ordinary boy, ordinary girl, ordinary man, ordinary woman, living an ordinary life just like you. But the difference is, they saw something good in another person, and they decided they could imitate it. Maybe it was courage. Maybe it was self-control. Maybe it was humility. Maybe it was forgiveness. And a voice in their soul said something to them like, you could be like that. Why not you? Why not now? And the saints, they decided to act on it. That's zeal. So don't envy the good thing you see in somebody else. Imitate it. You say, well, I can't imitate it. Well, then imitate it badly. Honestly, one of my favorite quotations is from G.K. Chesterton. He says, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Maybe you can only crack half a smile. It's better than nothing, right? Because you want to know something about your words? They form you. Did you know that? The words you speak form your soul as you speak them. In the church, we have a saying. Maybe you've heard this before. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Anybody ever heard that before? It's a Latin, okay, it's a brand new phrase for you today, okay? Lex orandi, lex credendi. It's a Latin phrase. It means the law of praying is the law of believing, and here's what that means. If you say in Our Father, the very fact that you're praying it is forming you to believe it as you say it. You pray these prayers of the Mass along with the priest. Maybe you're not up to speed with some of these prayers. These prayers say, Lord, we love you with all our heart. And you think to yourself, I can barely love the Lord with a tenth of my heart. You're being formed by praying the prayer. Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of praying is the law of believing. Very similar to the way we speak. As you pray, so you believe. As you speak, so you behave. Speak words of anger, you're going to become an angry person. Speak words of forgiveness, you become a forgiving person. You're forming yourself. That's why Jesus wants us to reform the way we speak. Because it's a key to reforming the heart. It's a very, very high standard to live up to. Control of your tongue is one of the rarest spiritual qualities and very, very advanced. Don't worry if you're not there yet. Don't worry if you're not there by the end of the week. Don't worry if you're not there by the end of the decade. Just start. Wherever you are right now, just start. Here's a meditation for you. Think about the fact that in a few minutes you're going to have a Eucharist on your tongue. Pray about how you use that tongue. You might use the words you speak for the love of God and of one another. Amen.